a lot of people think, oh, I'm not big enough to become a B Corp. But the truth is, the B Impact Assessment is free to access. It's only 90 questions. It's not a huge, arduous task. But you will then have a very clear roadmap as to where you need to go.
It's the E-Commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, I'm chatting with a packaging and sustainability expert who just so happens to run an e-commerce business too. He is sharing loads of big picture and hugely tactical insight for you. So he's running a B2B packaging business. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. We'll be talking about the fact that they're a B Corp, why they chose to become one when they did, the benefits of it. He'll be sharing an epic tip about building loyalty through your sustainability activity, hugely cool marketing campaign. And he'll also be talking, or we'll also be talking about why sustainability frequently isn't more expensive than being not sustainable. Before we meet him, though, I just want to tell you about a podcast I've been enjoying recently. It's called Upflip. 80% of new businesses fail, and Upflip is on a mission to flip that script by connecting business owners and entrepreneurs with the knowledge they need not to just survive, but to thrive. On the Upflip podcast, you will hear interviews with real business owners who share the tried and true strategies and insights that help them turn their ideas into profitable businesses. If you're looking for actionable, practical business advice, you'll find it on the Upflip podcast. Right, here we go. And please remember to listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips, frequently described as the best bit of the show, and my own take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Josh Pittman is the Managing Director at Priory Direct, purveyors of planet-friendly packaging and certified B Corp. Founded in 2006, Priory Direct is the e-commerce side of the Priory Business Group. Running sales via their bespoke website and customer service team, they now supply over 21,000 UK businesses. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks very much for having me on.
Great to have you here. How did you end up all that way back in 2006 doing e-commerce?
Yeah, so it's one of those things you can't connect the dots looking forward, but looking back, it made sense. I was actually selling a few bits online on eBay, and I was cutting that address out. You know, the one you cut the address out on the sheet. And we noticed that essentially that was always in the same place in the sheet. It always needed to be a label. So we created a product called an integrated label, which is a label built into a sheet. We launched a website called integratedlabels.net, which was a bad URL, but a good idea. And we were selling labels for eBay and for Amazon. We got 3,000 customers in 6 months. So it was the right product, right time. And then Photobox started buying with us, River Island, then Hotel Chocolat. And it sort of really became a thing. And we did an exit basket survey asking what people were sticking those labels to try and get the adhesive, you know, just perfect. And 80% of our customers at the time said Jiffy bags. And we thought, we need to change website. We need to have a proposition here for e-commerce customers. So yeah, we became an e-commerce packaging business, Priory Direct, in 2006. And we've been on a journey ever since then, really.
Wow, so very much customer-led.
Yeah, very much. I mean, we only came up with one small good idea, but then we really focused on what our customers wanted. And I think so much of our business change has come from listening to customers, monitoring how they interact with the business, you know, identifying those opportunities. It's just great practice.
And have you been sustainable, B Corp-y, ethical, eco since day one, or was that a blinding lights at some point?
No, that's been a big change for us. And I think it came from a bit of self-searching, really. So I sort of had that moment, as I think a lot of people do in their career, going, how on earth have I ended up in packaging? You know, what's happened here? And I was reading a book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And it was about finding your why, finding your purpose. And so I went off on this sort of big tangent, like, what is Priory's purpose? What is the purpose of Priory Direct? Where's our why? And I initially came up with SMEs are the backbone of Britain, and we support SMEs. And, you know, it's a perfectly good why. It's not a bad why, but it didn't really do anything for me. It wasn't like, oh, that's the solution I've been looking for my motivation. And I do a lot of outdoor sports. I went on a kite surfing holiday and there was loads of plastic on the beach. And I had that moment where I was like, ah, this is it. What we do is we supply a consumable to a very fast growing industry, which has a potentially really negative impact on the environment. Our purpose can be to improve the impact of businesses in that space. So our mission statement is actually to minimize the impact of e-commerce on the environment, period.
I love the fact you kind of did what so many people do when they read Start With Why and went, yeah, this is it. And you're like, you know, it clearly isn't, is it?
Yeah, I know. And I was, I did the full PowerPoint for the management team and I just didn't believe it. I was like, well, it's not quite it really.
And did you have kind of like a, oh my God, should we go down this route? Or is this, should I do some surveys before we do it? Or should we just plot the course and dive in?
It's funny because I think when I was marketing manager and I was all super keen back in those days, every idea was a brilliant idea. And I've definitely got more cynical in my time. But, you know, we surveyed, we did all sorts. And I think I was a little bit shocked by the lack of engagement we had around it. So it did make choosing sustainability as a purpose something that we couldn't validate. We really had to believe and go for it without necessarily, we didn't have that comfort blanket of customers going, yes, that's what we want you to do. In hindsight, it's been a wonderful journey. It's so happy that we've been on it and proud of the impact it's had. But at the time, it certainly wasn't an easy decision to make.
And whenabouts was that? How many years ago are we talking?
I think sort of 6-7 years ago. That's when I became managing director. And I think one core thing for making that step change is I wanted to have a reason for me taking that job role and to say, look, this is the change I want to bring into the organization. This is how I see it. One of the things is our value proposition, our purpose, along with, you know, lots of other things. But that was really compelling. And I wanted to have a good sort of proposition as to where we were going.
6-7 years on, any regrets?
I'm pretty happy with the journey we've been on. That's a really good question. I think maybe not bringing everyone with me on that journey. I think I didn't spend enough time communicating it. I think sometimes it's easy for an MD to have a great idea that they believe is great and you need to spend a lot more time explaining it. So perhaps that, but really we've taken quite an iterative and safe journey, probably starting B Corp sooner. That would be a good answer.
So when did B Corp come into the mix?
We've just had our B Corp anniversary, actually. So it's been an awesome first year of being a B Corp and it's made a huge difference to our business. I think maybe starting that journey earlier, but we did it right. So we did 2 years of baseline measurement on carbon footprint. And we really took our time with making sure that we had a really good understanding of the claims we were making and the level that we needed to get to. So I think we certified with a score of 93.5 when it's 80 to pass. So we achieved a really good standard that we're sort of very proud of.
It's interesting. I think everybody I speak to who's gone through the B Corp process and been a B Corp for a while says it's the difference it's made to the business, not on a fluffy, we get to say we're a B Corp front or we get to put the logo on places, but the actual rigor and how that's built success into the business seems to be the common thread of, you know, it kind of becomes like a, well, everyone who's got it says they're more successful because of it. So why wouldn't you do it?
And it literally touches every facet of the business. You know, I mean, it builds it into your governance. It makes you question things like your maternity and paternity policy. All good things that, as you know, small businesses are actually really easy to put in place. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm not big enough to become a B Corp, or perhaps, you know, we're too big, it's really challenging. But the truth is, the B impact assessment is free to access. It's 90 questions, and the answers to the questions are in the questions themselves. You know, it's like, this is a good answer, this is a bad answer. And all you need to do is make sure you reach the compliance level and make the changes in your business that you're needed to get to that standard. So if anything, I would say the lowest hanging fruit is go through the B impact assessment questions. It's only 90 questions. It's not a huge, arduous task, but you will then have a very clear roadmap as to where you need to go. And also the big surprise for us was we already had a charity rewards program. We already had an ESG strategy. We were already doing so many things that we just hadn't officially documented to a good standard. So it kind of was a good rewarding process. People were like, hey, we do that already. We're good at that. And we're good at this. You know, we just in a classic busy business style, we hadn't spent a lot of time documenting it and, you know, going through procedures.
Excellent. Tell us a bit more about the charity angle, because that's quite an interesting one that you do. I think a lot of people think B Corp is green, 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 and there's nothing else to it. But it's about a lot more than that, isn't it? So tell us a bit about the charity angle for you.
Yeah, I mean, just to sort of touch on that, there are five impact areas assessed in the B Corp assessment, and they do cover, you know, your governance as well as your environmental impact, your operations, your supply chain, how well you interact with society and your people. A lot of it's about your internal employee and people environment as well. So it isn't just a green standard. Sustainability for them is people, planet, profit. You know, you need to have a viable business model that's profitable and economically viable, because that provides a safe environment to employ people and contributes to the economy. You need to have something that's impactful positively for the planet, that doesn't have a negative impact so that it's sustainable. And you need to have a positive impact on society. Again, if you don't have all three of those, I don't believe you have a truly sustainable model. So the charity one I love talking about, because it's like my talisman for people who are thinking about doing this but don't have budget. And, you know, we were lucky enough to have a rewards system. And I'm lucky enough to have a financial director who is quite skeptical of ESG. And that actually is brilliant, because people like that hone you. You know, they make you sharper.
You need the devil's advocate sometimes, don't you? As frustrating as it is. Yeah.
It's taken me a long time to get there to understand it that way. But, you know, I do in hindsight really value that. So the charity rewards program, we had a 1% rewards program called Direct Rewards. You got 1% of your spend back to redeem on future orders. It's a classic loyalty scheme. And initially, when I said, look, I want to build a charity component to the business, the answer was, we don't have budget. So I said, okay, let's just put in the checkout some charity partners that our customers can give those rewards to when they place an order, instead of using it as a discount. They could still choose a discount. Some customers still do. Totally fine. Some customers really love that, give that 1% away. That's now raised over £67,000 for charity since its inception. And it's been cost neutral to us. And the big sort of kicker on that one is that we've identified that customers that engage in the charitable donations are 60% more loyal because of this endowed progress effect. They're building this nice pot of warm, fuzzy feeling of how they're having a positive impact when they're buying their packaging. And, you know, we're a fairly commoditized market in packaging. So it only takes a little bit of differentiation, really, to make your proposition more compelling than others. And that one really works with that customer demographic.
I think whatever we were planning on talking about in this podcast, an example of a marketing tactic where it's costing you nothing extra and it's appealing to your customers who are the most loyal, and 60% loyalty within that, it's like, that's just, it's a no-brainer. And I think that's the thing I find so frequently frustrating with sustainability and e-commerce in particular, is everybody assumes it's more expensive than business as usual.
Completely agree.
And it's so frequently not more expensive than business as usual.
I've got one more example that I think is exactly the same line there. And I do want to come back to that green premium expensive being sustainable piece. So the other thing we did after this was, we used to give mouse mats, pens, things like this as free gifts with orders. And the budget for those was sort of 40-50p an order. And we still give Haribo sweets. We still do that. And some people choose the Haribo sweets and you can't take them away from them. And, you know, hey, we all like a Haribo sweet every now and then. But the other option we added was through the Rainforest Trust Conservation Circle. We added the ability to protect 1,000 meters of rainforest when you order. It costs 40p. And it's so impactful. You literally create national parks or give Indigenous people land rights. Since launching that, we've protected over 8 million square meters of rainforest, which is massive. We were going to spend that money on a free gift anyway. I'd much rather put it to that than a plastic mouse mat. Sorry for everyone that really likes the mouse mats. But, you know, it's so impactful. And it makes us feel good. It makes our customers feel good. And for some of our large accounts where we're dispatching thousands of orders, you know, they've now had a really meaningful impact as part of their partnership with us. And we can do case studies where we say, look, by sourcing packaging with us, we've reduced your carbon footprint by X, we've eliminated Y tons of single-use plastic, and you've raised this many thousand for charity, and you've protected this much rainforest. You know, it turns packaging into something that's a little bit more exciting than it perhaps can be.
Packaging is truly exciting.
Oh, well, I think so.
Josh, you said you wanted to come back to the green premium. So I've got to ask you, what else did you want to add?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing, I'm really passionate about this because in packaging in particular, we're in a really lucky space where efficiency, reduction of waste, good specification of packaging tends to elicit a saving rather than a cost, and also happens to be more sustainable. So, you know, there are so many opportunities in your supply chain to remove wasted packaging, to right size your items, to choose more efficient approaches that are directly impactful to your bottom line. You know, we're in a luxury space there where we can encourage companies to be more sustainable and make a saving. And I think that more companies need to be aware that there are plenty of opportunities to be more sustainable and save money at the same time. They are not mutually exclusive.
It almost should be on banners.
Yeah, yeah. We put it on a bus. People seem to believe that.
Let's definitely not get into that. So you've been selling sustainable products, selling the sustainable vision for 6-7 years now. Do you find that why customers have come to you has shifted over that time period? Like, it feels like sustainability is becoming more part of business as usual. Are you finding that it's shifted from maybe people going, oh, this is sustainable, to people going, I need sustainable packaging, help me?
It's been a total shift. And I have to say, big PowerPoint presentation, just read a book, we're going to be sustainable 6 years ago. You know, didn't see that huge impact initially. It was like, okay, we've done this. We're going to, you know, minimize these types of items. We're going to start introducing these. We're going to build a life cycle assessment approach. All of these sort of hard fought things, no huge impact. And then slowly, as brand awareness has raised, as we've started working with your big retailers, you know, your Vivo Barefoots of this world, we start to see people coming to us from a sustainability perspective. And specifically in that pandemic year, the awareness of sustainability took a leap, a real step change. And all of a sudden, that work we'd put in for 3 years was validated and vindicated. All of a sudden, we were in the right place at the right time with the right message. And that was massive for us, like really, really important. It wasn't initially massively impactful, but it's really, really changed our business now. And in direct answer to your question, the big manifested change is the type of conversation. So we used to have a PowerPoint where we'd say, look, this is the reason that we think sustainability is important. This is why people should care about it. This is the measurement of our industry. This is where it's going. Yada, yada, yada. Here's what we do. And here's how we can reduce your impact. And really, those conversations have changed to, we need to be more sustainable. We need to present sustainability to our customers and make better choices. Or we're getting negative feedback about our polymailers. You know, how can we solve that? So it's been really refreshing. So we've had to simplify the presentation. And so that's made a big difference. And the other key change is the demographic in terms of job title that's come to us. So we used to be staunchly procurement manager, operation manager, you know, logistics operations, the gritty end of the industry, which really is so, so important now to retail. You know, if people told you that logistics was as important as it is now a few years ago, they'd be, you know, be very shocked. So now we have sustainability managers, ESG managers, impact managers, marketing managers, heads of customer experience, e-commerce managers. They're coming to us and saying, look, we've got all this lovely virtue signaling going on in the brand. We've got our charity partnerships. We're sustainable. We maybe even have a sustainability aspect built into our business model, but we're shipping it out and we haven't looked at it. Or we need ESG data for our supply chain and packaging. We need SEDEX registered supply chain. All of these new challenges are coming out that we're equipped to answer. So the job title and the number of different stakeholders across the business that we're speaking with has really, really changed.
That's fascinating. And there is nothing that says our markets evolve more than your customers going, no, I know that slide. I know that slide. Move on. It's like, oh, okay. I don't need to do the why anymore. Okay.
Yes, I know. It is so refreshing. It's brilliant. The other thing to say is we've seen more CEO, founder, owners, managing directors interested in what they're doing from a packaging perspective. You know, I really think Asher Clark from Vivo Barefoot is a great example. He is interested. They've got a big, fast-growing business, but he cares about what materials they're using. He cares about optimizing their supply chain. So, you know, it really does go all the way to the top in terms of a lot of the brands that we work with.
Personally, I think packaging is finally getting the attention it deserves, but it's also kind of like it's the one that customers notice the most. you can do all the things right, but if it arrives in the wrong packaging, the customer is gonna complain.
Yeah, and oftentimes in e-commerce world, it's the first time your brand physically meets the customer in the real world. So we've got these beautiful Instagram presences. We've got these wonderful sites with brilliant marketing messages and videos, and we're sending them out in bin bags. You know, it's as bad as that for some really notable brands. And the truth is, less than 5% of consumer LDPE in the UK is recycled. And not just because it doesn't get to the right place, because there isn't capacity to recycle it. So there's no justification for choosing that simple, single-use plastic for your dispatches. It damages your brand perception. It doesn't look great. It's poor for the environment, and there's a lower carbon footprint, affordable alternative available in paper mailing bags. You know, there is a solution right now for that challenge.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Although, Josh, you've obviously already given one, which is switch to paper mailers, everybody. Josh, are you ready for the top tips?
I am, yeah.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would say Let My People Go Surfing by Yvon Chouinard, founder of Patagonia. It's fun to read. It's a great story. He's a real dude. And we all know what his business has done and has achieved. So yeah, that's really inspirational.
Awesome. A very, very good recommendation. Okay, traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Good old nitty gritty SEO. People hate it because it's grubby, slightly boring work, lots of spreadsheets. But the truth is, it is free customer acquisition if you can get it right. And I just recommend everybody looks at it and really lifts that stone and probably does a good job at orienting themselves around the right search terms for their business.
Got you. So SEO, starting off with those search terms and get right in there. Cool. And coming from such a competitive marketplace where everyone's fighting over the same keywords, that kind of raises your advice there up a level for me. Nice. Okay. Tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
We are Trello lovers. We use Kanban boards for all of our work, and we use a sprint cadence throughout the business. So yeah, Trello boards. We love them. Recommend them wholeheartedly.
Nice. It's always, I love, yeah, any tool that makes you more organized. Love it. Carbon top tip, finally, what's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
I'd love to say to you guys, you know, there's one specific area that you should work in, but the truth is it's individual to every business. So I would start at measurement. Everybody needs to have a good life cycle assessment approach for their whole business, end to end, understand where your footprint is, and the road to reducing it will be clear to you. So what's measured's managed, get measuring.
Any tips on how to make that easier than it feels like it's going to be to someone who's never explored it before?
Yeah, so that is changing so much. So I'm a huge believer in cohorts and getting into industry verticals. So if you are a company that is a hair salon, then hey, there's someone in your industry who's already done this. Reach out to them. Yeah, if you're an e-commerce seller, there are providers that specialize in that, or there are other providers that are making carbon neutral claims already who have been through this. Sustainability shouldn't just be a competitive edge. It should be collaborative. We all need to do it. So stop hoarding your careful innovations, start sharing them. And I do think, yeah, so find like-minded businesses that have gone through that challenge already and ask them.
Oh, great, great way to tackle it. And I have to say, on that collaborative front, I think people in e-commerce are pretty collaborative, but people in sustainability are crazily collaborative. I would be highly surprised if, even if they're your direct competitors, that they're not willing to help you head in the same direction.
It's because they get it. You know, if you're facing a climate emergency, which we are, I don't want to be all doom and gloom. It's not the time to go, oh, have we got a good idea? Yeah. We're going to keep this. You know, they get that. They totally get that. And I think the sooner businesses can look at sustainability as a collaborative exercise. Hey, I'm here saying it's a competitive advantage. It is for us. And that's great because it's win-win, but we're not hiding anything. We're being as transparent as we can. We're really active in the B Corp community, in the sustainable business community. You know, we share and talk about it a lot.
Awesome. Well, look, Josh, before we say goodbye, for any of the listeners who want to make their packaging more sustainable or to chat to you about, you know, things we've been talking about today, where can they find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Okay, yeah. So we're Priory Direct on all the social handles and we're on priorydirect.co.uk. We help you minimize your impact. If you're just using stock packaging, we've got thousands of stock items which are alternatives to single-use plastics, help you speed up your dispatch, minimize your costs. And if you're a large business, we act as a supply chain partner for you. We improve your buying power. We give you data transparency and we provide consultancy on your packaging efficiency and customer experience.
There we go, everybody. Priorydirect.co.uk. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast and being part of our B Corp month. I've learned a lot chatting with you. I suspect our audience have too. So thank you very much for sharing so much with us.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Loads of great insight there from Josh. I think both about their own journey to sustainability and some really good tips around how to make your own packaging more sustainable too. I think that green premium thing is such an important myth to bust so often now because the tech has developed, because the marketing impact comes in, because of so many factors. Frequently, becoming a more sustainable business actually has a net positive financial gain for you. It's so worth investigating. And the collaborative nature of the sustainability people is phenomenal. So never be afraid to ask. To get your hands on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/whatever the number of this episode is into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the correct page. When you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you liked this episode, then you're in luck because we're right in the middle of our 4-episode annual celebration of all things B Corp. Already live is a catch-up with a listener who's become a B Corp as a direct result of last year's B Corp month. How cool is that? And a chat with Vivo Barefoot themselves, who I have been trying to get on the show for years. We got one more coming up next time. You can find all our B Corp interviews, not just the ones we're putting out this month, at ecmp.info/B Corp. And if you want more B2B e-commerce, then ecmp.info/B2B is where it's at. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. You are listening carbon guilt-free because this is a carbon positive podcast, which means we bought the carbon credits to offset all our production, distribution, and your listening to this show. So you've just listened to this episode and every single one of our episodes, carbon guilt-free. So binge away, my lovelies, binge away. I bring you a new interview every single week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the sustainability journey. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.